Let's go ahead and begin tonight with our Bible study. And tonight we are looking at spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. And we're looking at lesson 10 this evening, which is silence and solitude. Silence and solitude for the purpose of godliness. And the first thing that I want to do just for a moment is I want to define what we mean by silence and solitude. And so two definitions, one for each of these concepts, even though, as we'll see, really these two things go together and are often practiced in unison together. But by silence is essentially the voluntary and temporary abstention from speaking so that certain spiritual goals might be sought. And now, when I first read that, I thought, okay, so you can just not talk and do anything else that you want to do. And I think there's more to it than that. It's not only that you're not speaking, but that you're also seeking rest, I think, from your tongue as well as from your ears. So it's the idea of both words going out as well as words coming in. You're seeking a time of silence, really clearing all the other peripheral out of the way so that you can focus for a time on some spiritual goals. And so often that's going to coincide with solitude as well. And solitude is the voluntary and temporary withdrawal to privacy for spiritual purposes. And so basically getting away from noise and getting away from other people. Now, three principles about this that we want to try to keep in balance. One of them is that we need to think of silence and solitude as the counterbalance to the discipline of mutual fellowship. So one of the things that he emphasizes in the study is that we don't want to just be monks all the time and, you know, be in silence and solitude all the time. Because that's really not what the Bible calls us to do as a life. How else would we advance the Great Commission in telling the nations about the gospel? How would we fulfill all the one another commands in the Scripture about fellowshipping with one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, building one another up? All these one another instructions imply and strongly suggest that we need to be in community often as the people of God. But there are times when we do need to withdraw and find some time alone, some time of silence to be with God. So really we're kind of holding these in tension and balance. Really, you don't want to do one all the way to the exclusion of the other. You don't want to just be a monk all the time and ignore people, but also you want to have times where you come away for a while and spend some time alone with God. Another principle here is that often, as I mentioned, these things are practiced together. So silence and solitude often go together in our experience and practice. And the third principle is that, and this is where it's really difficult for us, is our culture conditions us to be comfortable with noise and crowds. Let's just stop there for a minute and just kind of reflect on that. How do you think that our culture maybe a little bit harder to focus on silence and solitude than other cultures or other generations before us? What are some of the challenges that we have? Yeah, finding a place that you can be alone. And so just finding, you know, we have more people in the world, right? You know, a lot of people live in cities now. One of the interesting statistics of our age that I think we just hit this, either we're about to or we just hit it recently, for the first time in the history of the world, there are more people living in cities than in non-city contexts. So it used to be the vast majority of the world was in an agrarian, farming society or culture. But now we have, the scale has tipped to where we have more people living in metropolitan areas, more people in cities than out in the country. And so we're around people more. And so that's very true. For some, it's just finding a place to do it. What other challenges do we have in our generation or in our culture? Technology. Yeah, technology. Technology, it's a benefit, but it has downsides as well. One of the things that we're learning about technology is that you invent technology for one purpose, but it has side effects and downsides that weren't necessarily part of the plan when this technology was first invented. In fact, I was reading a book, this is a while ago, but I was reading a book on Christians and technology, and he made the point that, cell phones, well, why did cell phones first come about? Who were the first buyers of cell phones? What were they first made for? What do you think? Business, right? Business people, sales people, people out in the field, yeah, probably military. And so the reason why business people wanted these and found it very useful is because they could be reached anywhere at any time, right? Well, guess what the flip side of that is to the general consumer, the private person? You can be reached at any time, at any place. And so there's no longer a time where we're alone, where we're so like the business person who needed to be reached, now we're reached all the time, whether we want to be or not. And so that's the flip side of it. And so all technology has, it's good for certain tools, but it also has downsides as well that monopolizes time and attention. And sometimes we don't even realize it. We don't realize how much these things steal our time. In fact, just this week, I've been experimenting with something, and I found it to be very productive. I haven't even turned my computer on until, let's see, this is the third day this week. The earliest that my computer's been on all week was today, which was at 4:30 in the afternoon. And so I've found that I can get a whole lot more done if my computer is just off and I'm focusing on all the other things. So what I'm doing is I'm front loading all the tasks, all the things that I can or need to do that don't require a computer, trying to do all those first and get those done, and then try to batch together all the things that need a computer and then wait to turn that on until later. And I'm finding it very useful because the computer, you get on it to do something, but then you end up doing something else, right? And so you start here, but you end up over here and then over here. And they're distracting. So we're always around noise. There's music playing everywhere. You go to a restaurant, there's music playing. You go into a mall, there's music playing. We get in our cars, we turn on the radio, listen to our iPods. We always have noise. We have technology and media all around us, whether it be coming in our ears or coming in our eyes. We have media all around us, and it's distracting. Any other challenges that you think that we face in our culture, our generation? I think we fit probably the big ones. Technology. I mean, we have some advantages too. I think we have some advantages maybe in our culture. We live in homes that have multiple rooms. It used to be that most people lived in homes that didn't have that much privacy within one house. And so now we have rooms with walls and doors, and we can go in and close ourselves off and have some privacy in a room. So there's advantages and disadvantages to some of the luxuries that we have in our society. I think the greatest challenge, whether you're talking about 1,000 years ago or whether you're talking about today, the greatest challenge is still in our hearts. And that is, are we going to discipline ourselves to get away and find some time with God? Because I think they could probably find things to distract them back in the ancient world just as well as we can find things to distract us today. And so it's a matter of where our priorities are. So let's talk about some reasons why we would want to do silence and solitude. What are some biblical reasons? And all these come from the scriptures. One is to follow Jesus' example. And he provides several references from the Gospels where we see Jesus doing this very thing. Obviously, the big one is his 40 days in the wilderness, right? So his his temptation, or before his temptation of the devil, he goes and fasts in solitude and silence for 40 days. But there's also other times where, for not as long, he would go away in an evening or at night to a solitary place. So one time in the Gospel of Mark, it says he got up early before anybody else got up while it was still dark, and he went off and found a solitary place to pray. And so Jesus has called us to follow in his steps, right? And so he set the example for us in a lot of these disciplines that we're talking about. Another reason is to minimize distractions in prayer. So obviously we can pray whenever, wherever. The Bible calls us to pray without ceasing even. But I think for us to be able to focus and give ourselves wholeheartedly to prayer, I think that's probably helped by silence and solitude, to be able to just get away and pray alone with the Lord. Another reason is to express worship to God. And here in the chapter, he's talking about how there are different ways that we can worship God. Obviously, one way that we can worship God is by singing with our voices. We can praise God with our words, with our bodies. We can prostrate ourselves and even physically praise God or worship him. Reading his word out loud is worshiping God. But he says one way that we can worship God is just to sit before him in silence and just wait and meditate and think in silence and solitude and think about God and think about his glory, his attributes, think about who he is, and really not even say a word. Now, there may be obviously internal thoughts in your mind, but just in silence and solitude, thinking about God and worshiping him. Another reason is to express faith in God. To express faith in God. And so here he says, you know, we might consider, instead of in prayer, immediately rushing into words, you know, and here's all the things that we're going to ask God for, or talk to God about today, just to, in silence, trust that God is wise, that he is sovereign, that he is good, and that he has good purposes for your life, even in the midst of all that craziness that's going on. So just to express your faith in God in silence and worship. Also, he points to several scriptures where we can seek to go into silence or solitude for the purpose of seeking deliverance or salvation from God. He applies this to either unbelievers or believers. He said, for unbelievers, they need to stop and meditate and contemplate who they are and where they fit in the universe. And if they've heard the gospel, they need to stop and contemplate and think about the truths of the gospel and sit in silence and meditate on how that impacts them and their lives and eternity. And so he says this is even something good for an unbeliever to do, maybe as a part of the Holy Spirit's drawing him to the gospel. But then he also says, you know, there may be something going on in your life, a hard circumstance, where you need deliverance from the Lord. Talking to believers, it's a really difficult situation, and you're really in need of God to come to your aid. He says, just sit there in silence and trust God. And so you can see how some of these go hand in hand. So you need deliverance from God. So I'm just going to sit in silence and express my trust, my faith in God, that he is going to do his will in his time. Other reasons for silence and solitude would be just to be restored, to recuperate physically and spiritually. He looks at one of the episodes in the scriptures is Elijah. After his time on Mount Carmel and his confrontation with the prophets of Baal, he's spent. You can read the aftermath of that in Elijah's life, and he's depressed. He is he's on the verge of suicide even in Elijah's life, and he thinks that he's all alone, that even after this great victory, now he's all alone. Now he's fearful. that Queen Jezebel is after his life. And so he expresses fear and doubt and he's depressed. And so God says, I'm just going to sustain you here for a while in solitude and in silence. I'm going to bring ravens to come and feed you. They're going to care for you, but you're going to be here alone and you just need time to refresh, to recuperate, both physically and spiritually, because we're a unit. We can't neatly separate our bodies from our souls. We are a single unified person. And I'm sure you've experienced in your lives that when you're feeling down physically, that has an effect on you emotionally and spiritually, and vice versa. And so sometimes we just need to get away to recharge in all of our being. Another reason is to regain a spiritual perspective. And the idea here is really just to step back and reevaluate, to think about where I am, what I'm doing, my goals, my priorities, the way that I'm using my time, the way that I'm serving or not serving, and just really kind of an evaluation time. Step back and look at the big picture, look at the forest, because all of your days are spent amongst the trees doing all these activities and chores and responsibilities. So sometimes we need to step back and reevaluate in our lives. Sometimes we may need to get apart to seek God's will in a particular matter. God, what would you have me to do with this? Seek His will. Seek guidance from Him. And to just get apart. Another purpose is, he says, to learn self-discipline, specifically with the matter of talking. He says, maybe you need to learn what James says, that every person should be slow to speak and quick to listen. And so maybe sometimes we're given to talking too much and we need to learn how to be silent and to discipline ourselves to be able to not have to talk all the time. So sometimes maybe just going away and being in silence for a while can be an aid to that. But here's one of the things that I want to conclude this part with, and that is that I think all of these disciplines work together. And so silence and solitude, I think, can support and connect with the other disciplines. So silence and solitude can be used in combination with prayer, in combination with reading the Bible, meditating on God's Word. It can be used in combination with fasting. And you might even use a combination of all of the above, you know, prayer and the Word and fasting alone. It can be used in terms of worship, you know, just silence and solitude away, just to worship God and to praise Him and to marvel at who He is. So a lot of these can work in tandem with each other. And one discipline helps another. So I think here, silence and solitude can help and fuel the other disciplines. Let's talk about, he suggests just a few things by way of practical, just practices that can be a help. One is, don't immediately think that, okay, I've never done silence and solitude, how do I do this? Don't think that you have to go replicate Jesus 40 days in the wilderness. You know, you can start small. And maybe that starting small is just intentionally throughout your day thinking about closing everything up, shutting everything off, and I'm going to take 5 minutes and just pray. And think about God. Think about His Word. Think about my day and how God fits into my day. And just take a time out and get all the distractions away for 5 minutes. And he calls these minute retreats. So just, you know, start small and try to integrate more into your life a pattern of silence and solitude that can help you with the other disciplines as well. And then one of the ones that he spends a lot of time on and encourages us in is that we would find a time every day, try to schedule it, to plan it, where we have some silence and solitude. And that may be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, but to find some time where you can spend time in the Word and spend time praying and just make that a daily part of your walk with Christ. And then he says, there may be times when you just need to get away. And this can be short, maybe a couple hours. Maybe you can go to a park. Maybe if it's a nice day, nice weather outside, maybe go out to the woods or go out to a park somewhere. Just find some time where you're alone. Even go on a walk and just get away from your normal desk or your normal workspace, your home. Just, you know, get into a new environment and reflect and pray. And then also that can also go into even, you know, special places where one of the things about getting away, he says, you might go for a small retreat, even overnight or a couple of days, and just get away and pray and read the scriptures. It's probably not something you would do often, but occasionally that would be good for your soul. The other thing is special places. Have some places where you can go where and even the other people in your life knows that when I go here at this time, I'm spending time with God. He relayed a story in the chapter that I thought was funny, and that he was talking about Susanna Wesley and large family, lots of children, and he said in the chapter that sometimes she would just pull her apron over her head in the home and read the Bible under her apron. And the kids knew that was her special place under the apron. Whatever it is for you, you know, find a place. Maybe if it's in your home, have a special place where you read the Word. If you can have another place, maybe outside or in a park or whatever, just have a place where you can get away and spend time with God. And then just as a practical suggestion, he says, just because of the busyness of life, you know, many of us are going to ask, when in the world am I going to be able to do this? Especially if you have kids at home and your job is full and you have a lot of responsibilities. He says, how are we going to pull this off? And he suggests one way to do that is maybe work out an agreement with maybe your spouse or a friend to trade off responsibilities and say, you know, like for me, I'll just use myself as an example that where I would say to Carolyn, okay, I'm going to give you this block of time and I'm going to make sure the kids are taken care of and you just go and find some time by yourself. And then he says, then you can trade that. You flip-flop. And then, so just a matter of working together to help each other find some time where you can spend time with God. So that's basically the main meat of the chapter, the structure of it. So what I'm just going to ask a few questions now, maybe get some discussion. What is it that is the most challenging for us in terms of either finding time to do silence and solitude or motivating ourselves to do silence and solitude? I'm sorry, somebody said something back here. Oh, it was Carolyn? Okay. What did you say, Carolyn?
Motivating.
So.
Motivation because you put these other things ahead of this.
Yeah.
You've got to be really motivated to just lay them down and do it.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think motivation is a big factor in it. So how do we, what's your secret then? What? How do we motivate ourselves? Just start it. Yeah. Sometimes that's the hardest part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is the first step.
Keep it up if it's early in the morning or late, you know, if you wake up before you go to bed or whatever, just keep it up.
I think I mentioned this before, but one of the challenges that I face in my personality is I'm kind of a perfectionist, and so when I think about something like a new spiritual discipline that maybe I haven't thought about before, and I thought about implementing it, I think, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. Right. And so I think about, okay, I'm going to go away on a retreat, you know, and I'm going to go big. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. But a lot of times when you have high expectations, they're really unrealistic expectations and you kind of set yourself up for you never do it because, and that was obviously a big example, but, so if you think about, okay, I'm going to start Bible reading. You know, if you've not had a practice of Bible reading, you probably don't want to launch into the Read the Bible in 90 Days plan, right? You know, that's probably taking you an hour a day to do the Bible in 90 days. So you don't want to launch into that right away. Bite off smaller chunks and incrementally work yourself up to it. And I think habits can be very good, but they can also be very bad, right? What's a habit? Just where you get in a rut of doing things, right? You do something and then it just becomes a normal practice, a normal routine in your life. Well, that can be good or bad, right? So you might have a habit of, eating half a chocolate cake a day. That's not a good habit. So habits can be bad, but you can also have a habit of, getting up and walking and praying while you walk every day. You can have a habit of getting up and reading the scriptures for set amount of time every day. And once you get into that routine can be very productive for you and can be a good thing in your life. And really it just takes one first step, then the next step, then the next step, and you got to keep repeating it. So, but you got to start somewhere. And so maybe with silence and solitude, start small and say, I'm going to take 5 minutes and I'm just going to turn everything off, put everything away, shut off all the noise. And I'm just going to think about God, think about something I read in the scriptures that day, or I'm going to pray, but just disciplining ourselves to do it. And that's the thing about it is, and I've read some other books on spiritual disciplines too, and I keep looking for the key. I keep looking for this magic key that unlocks spiritual discipline, and there isn't one. There is not something that you can just flip a switch and be disciplined. It's a matter of doing it day in and day out and committing yourself to it day in and day out. And sometimes the second day is harder than the first day. And the third day is harder than the second day. But after a while, it becomes a part of your life. It becomes something that you do. Yeah. That's right. That's a very good point, because one of the things that I don't want to communicate is that, hey, this is all up to you. You're strong. You can do it. Because, it goes together with God's grace, like you're saying. We need God's help to be able to do this and to grow in godliness. And also, too, just by way of reminder, these things are not an end in themselves. Silence and solitude is not the goal. God is the goal. And so silence and solitude is a means to draw us closer to God and closer to walking with Him. What have you found to be useful or what do you think would be helpful to get away from the noise and the distractions and technology that we have in our culture? So even pre-advanced communication of here, I'm gonna go get away for a little bit.
Which seems obvious, but because it seems sort of selfish,
yeah,
it's not, but it can feel that way to me.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, I don't need to go around announcing this.
Yeah. Well, something that you said triggered something else in the chapter that I thought about, and that is that here we have Jesus who is fully capable of meeting everybody's needs. And anybody who comes to Him, He can heal. And people are clamoring after Him to try to be around Him all the time. And yet, He specifically carves out time to go and be alone. And so, you know, I understand what you're saying. You know, it's like, here's my responsibility. I need to be here. I should be doing this. Well, you know, if anybody could have, and, you know, if we could think, you know, he had the capability, he could have healed everybody, but he didn't. And Jesus, even in his priorities, saw that it was needful to be apart for a while. And it shows us the fact that he was not only God, but he was human too. He's the God-man. And he needed to get apart. He needed to recharge. He needed to refresh and spend time with God. And so I understand what you're saying. You can feel that selfishness of, but really, in a way, you're, this is maybe a bad analogy, but you're pulling into the pit stop so that you can keep racing. You know, if you keep on trying to race without fueling up or without changing your tires, you're not going to make it to the end of the race. So you're doing the whole team a favor, you know, by taking a pit stop. That's a good, really good point. Any other thoughts? Y'all have anything else that you thought of, maybe as you read the chapter or as we were talking tonight?
Running race is gonna stop and grab some water. You know, just can't keep going.
That's a good point. And just thinking that we can keep on going without resting and without taking this time away. And what you were talking about reminded me that even Sabbath rest, you know, is a part of God's gift to us. And it's a gift, but it's also, we have to purposely rest, you know, and in resting, we're depending. You know, when we rest, we're depending on God because we're not out working. You know, kind of like the Israelites. 6 days you can go gather manna, but the seventh day you got to trust me. So that's a really good point. Just think we can keep on charging on without coming apart for a while, but we need that. We need to come away for a while.
I'm not going to be able to do this right and try. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to get it all right and try. But I think also for me, I tend to find myself, like I said, having some silence and solitude at night whenever I can go to sleep or whatever else. I guess whenever I can't go to sleep, I kind of spend that time maybe talking to God or for people that I told them I pray for and I would pray for them.
Yeah, that's good. And really, it's a matter of sometimes we find ourselves in moments where we have the opportunity for silence and solitude and to meditate and pray with God, but we choose other things, you know? And I think one of the things about us in our culture is that we are a very restless culture. You know, it seems like we always have to have something going on. And, you know, just as a challenge, try to do what I'm saying. Try to just sit somewhere doing nothing. You know, listening to nothing, watching nothing, doing nothing, and do it for a period of time. And it's hard to do sometimes. You're like, okay, I got to pull up my phone and see what's going on. Or I got to, you know, it's hard to just not do anything. You can see this with kids too. I know you tell a kid, okay, sit here and be still. You tried every day.
In the library,
it's
supposed to be quiet. Right. Absolutely. Stormy weather, something, your fire goes off, and you think, what am I going to do now with the power?
Right, right. Yeah.
Perfect time that you say, I don't know what to do. It's just quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you hear about the 12 people, you know, you did the
I think you get some silence and solitude then, right?
Yeah.
Just hit the mute button, right? So really just the call in the chapter is that we would intentionally try to make this more a part of our lives and to not let it come to us, but that we would pursue it, pursue silence and solitude for the ultimate purpose of pursuing God and pursuing godliness.